Let us love and sing in wonder. Let us praise the Savior's name. He has hushed the law's loud thunder. He has quenched Mount Sinai's flame. This is Danny Hyde, pastor of the Oceanside United Reformed Church, inviting all sinners, all those struggling with their burdens, all those who have fallen out of church, all those worried about their sins, to come and hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, which alone can save and renew. I invite you to join us every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. and 5 p.m. You can also find us online at oceansideurc.org. That's oceansideurc.org.
Rightly interpreting God's Word. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Christians living today in the United States are facing so many things all at once. It's hard for us to process and hard for us to handle this. We don't know what's coming tomorrow. We don't know what new thing against God's word will be imposed upon us. And we all sit back and we live in fear. We shouldn't, of course. Christians have a king who is reigning with a kingdom that can never be taken, a kingdom that can never be toppled, that is eternal. But we still have to live under the sun. And as we see things radically turn against Christians in a way that we've not known in our country, well, we're worried and we think a lot about our children. What are they going to have to face? What are they going to do? How are they going to stand? We're looking at all this today on Abounding Grace as we take up part two of our study in Exodus chapter 10 as we look at what I've called a plague story for the children. God is really concerned about our children. Ultimately, they're his children, and that's so comforting. And he tells us how to instruct them, how to prepare them, how to help them through changing radical times that have taken a stand against him and against his anointed Jesus Christ. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org. agradio.org. Download the podcast and write to us. And also, you can find us on Facebook. We have apps for your smartphone if you do desire to support us. We do need that support to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. And if these are a blessing to you, please remember all of your support, 100%, goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to major population bases of the U.S. You can do that right online through our website at agradio.org. You can write us at P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Again, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio today. Here is part two of the message that we started yesterday, a plague story for the children from Exodus chapter 10. And the Lord always wanted people to know that one of the great purposes that we're here, one of the great purposes is that Jeremiah said, one of the great pursuits is that people would understand me and that they would know me, that I am the Lord. But what do I want them to know about me? I'm not a tyrant. I want them to know that I exercise loving kindness. I want them to understand that about me. That's why we study the Bible the way that we do. It's why we preach through books. God gave us stories. Here you're learning his character. Here you're learning him. Here you're seeing his power. Do you speak about him? Do we tell? Notice that it was for the grandparents to do this too. I also heard numerous times in my time as a pastor this terrible statement. Well, you know, our grandparents never talked about their faith. They internalized it. Huh? I don't know what that is. We talk about it. This is the design.
Do we sit at the table with our children? Have we made that one of the top priorities in the home? Children, I have an assignment for you. You go ask your parents to tell you a story tonight. They've got a lot to tell. J.A. Alexander, in his excellent book on the family, says, "The daily reading of God's word by parents before his children is one of the most powerful agencies of Christian life." We're prone to undervalue it, he says. He says, between families that this instruction goes on and in families where the Bible is not read, the contrast is striking. I believe that's true. To deny such a source of influence to the youthful mind is an injustice, he says. When a father leads this way, he says, a child is forced to say, how can I offend against a father who daily wrestles with God on my behalf? God is so concerned about this. I guess I'm taken by how concerned God is about this in the middle of a plague that he would want to put this down. Well, Moses, so what happens? Moses says, if you refuse to let my people go, I'm bringing on the locusts. They shall fill your houses, the houses of all your servants and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were on the earth to this day. Now picture this. Moses says it, he turns around and he bolts out from Pharaoh. This is what's going to happen. At this point, Pharaoh's servants begin to panic. What are you doing? Listen, this guy, how much longer are you going to let him be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Don't you know Egypt's destroyed? Can't you look around at your country and see that the whole thing is unraveling at the seams? Can't you see it, dear leader? You wonder why worldly rulers don't wake up and say, everything seems to be falling apart. Everything's in shambles. Pharaoh, our water's been attacked. We have no water. Pharaoh, our crops are all gone. Pharaoh, the storm has hit us and wiped out Egypt. Don't you see? Wake up, man. Wake up. Well, now they're brought back in, aren't they? Moses and Aaron are brought back in. And he said to them, go serve the Lord your God. Who are the ones that are going? Pharaoh says, so who do you think is going? Moses says, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds. We must hold a feast to the Lord. He said to them, the Lord had better be with you when I let you and your little ones go, if I do. Notice that there in verse 10. The Lord be with you if ever I let you and your little ones go. You have some evil purpose in mind. Go, the men. Go ahead. Translate. The children stay. See it? See, this whole plague is constructed in such a way as to center on the battle for the children. Not your children. Not so. You who are men may go. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Moses walked out, insulted Pharaoh. They brought him back. Now Pharaoh drives him out. Arrogant. The Lord begins this plague by saying, teach your children that they may know me. Tell them everything that I've done for them. Tell them the stories of their deliverance, that they would come and have life and that they would know me. Pharaoh says, they can't go. Do you see it? Do you see the warfare for your children? You see the devil behind this. Oh, if he could stamp out the seed, there's no Christ, by the way, which is probably the greater story here. Wipe them out. What a terrible thought. You guys can go have your good life in Canaan. You can go live it up. Leave your children. Isn't that just an awful thought? You know, Satan wants your children. You know, Satan has been trying to abduct your children for years, and he's good. Oh, he wants your children. And really, you don't have a ghost of a chance. You say, well, how do we keep our children? Tell them the story. That's what he's been telling us. Tell them the story. That's what we're doing now. That's why you want to keep your children in church every chance you can. That's why we want to train them well. That's why in the home we want the Bible read. That's the means God uses to keep your children. All of a sudden, God says, go ahead, stretch out the staff. Moses stretches out the staff over Egypt, and all night this west wind, or this east wind blows, day and night. And in the morning, lo and behold, this blackness starts to come over the land. It is something. Let me tell you, it is a marching army of locusts. We have no idea what that must have been like, because the Lord tells us here, there has been nothing like it in history. You can get some kind of idea of what it was like, but this one was the plague of all plagues. They say that there's no plague on earth worse than the locust plague. I don't know. I can't verify. It's been called nature's most awesome example of collective destructive power. A locust, as the facts go, eats its own weight daily. An arrival of a locust, a plague, would leave them in famine for years. A mile, let's just give 1 mile of a locust swarm has 100 to 200 million locusts. They've documented in the world's record swarms covering over 400 square miles. In the 1930s, swarms of locusts wiped out hundreds of square miles in Africa. Some said even double the size of the U.S. Is that possible? I don't know. I didn't add. Madagascar is dealing with them right now. 100 swarms right now in Madagascar. 500 billion locusts. They eat 100,000 tons of vegetation a day. The worst one hit over here in 1988. And this is how the Chicago Tribune described it. Billions of locusts are moving across North Africa in the worst plague since 1954, blotting out the sun and settling on the land like a black, ravenous carpet to strip it clean of vegetation. One of you handed me Laura Ingalls Wilder's story here. It's just fascinating. A cloud was over the sun. It was not like any cloud they had ever seen before. It was a cloud of something like snowflakes, but they were larger than snowflakes and thin and glittering. Light shone through each flickering particle. There was no wind. The grasses were still and the hot air did not stir, but the edge of the cloud came on across the sky faster than wind. The hair stood up on Jack's neck. All at once, he made a frightful sound up at that cloud, a growl and a whine. Plunk! Something hit Laura's head and fell to the ground. She looked down and saw the largest grasshopper she'd ever seen. Then huge brown grasshoppers were hitting the ground all around her, hitting her head and hitting her face and her arms. They came thundering down like hail. The cloud was hailing grasshoppers. The cloud was grasshoppers. Their bodies hid the sun and made darkness. Their thin, large wings gleamed and glittered. The rasping, whirring, of their wings filled the whole air, and they hit the ground in the house with the noise of a hailstorm. Laura tried to beat them off. Their claws clung to her skin and her dress. They looked at her with bulging eyes, turning their heads this way and that. Mary ran screaming into the house. Grasshoppers covered the ground. There was not one bare bit to step on. Laura had to step on grasshoppers, and they smashed, squirming and slimy, under her feet. Ma was stammering, the window shut all around the house. Pa came and stood just inside the front door looking out. Their long wings were folded. Their strong legs took them hopping everywhere. The air whirred and the roof went on sounding like a roof in a hailstorm. Then Laura heard another sound, one big sound made of tiny nips and snips and gnawings. The wheat, Pa shouted. He dashed out back door and ran toward the wheat field. The grasshoppers were eating. You could not hear one grasshopper eat unless you listened very carefully while you held him and fed him grass. Millions and millions of grasshoppers were eating now. You could hear millions of jaws biting and chewing. Never in the history of the world had there been a plague like this. Verse 15 says, the land went dark. Moses stretched out his hand. They went up over the land. They rested on the territory. It says this was very severe. They covered the face of the earth. The land was black. They ate every herb of the land. No fruit trees were left, anything that the hail had left. There remained nothing green on the trees or plants throughout all the land of Egypt. That must have been something. Keep in mind, just a few weeks ago, they were hit by hail. Their bodies are recovering from boils. Their livestock are destroyed. Fly bites are still probably healing. The stink of the disease from the frogs. All these plagues were directly hit at some god of Egypt. The whole land was black with them. It was systematic destruction of Egypt. Reversal of creation. If you want God's description of it today, I invite you to go back in your afternoon devotions and read Joel 2. Let me just give it quickly. This is a description of the locust plague. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It's close at hand, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, like dawn spreading across the mountains. A large and mighty army comes, such as never was in ancient times, nor ever will be in the ages to come. It borrowed that from the Exodus. Before them, fire devours. Behind them, a flame blazes. Before them, the land is like the Garden of Eden. Behind them, a desert waste. Nothing escapes them. They have the appearance of horses. They gallop along like a cavalry. With a noise like that of chariots, they leap over the mountaintops. Like a crackling fire consuming stubble, like a mighty army drawn up for battle. At the sight of them, nations are in anguish. Every face turns pale. They charge like warriors. They scale walls like soldiers. They all march in line, not swerving from their course. They do not jostle each other. Each marches straight ahead. They plunge through defenses without breaking ranks. They rush upon the city. They run along the wall. They climb into houses. Like thieves, they enter through the windows. Before them, the earth shakes. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon are darkened. The stars no longer shine. The Lord thunders at the head of his army, his forces are beyond number, and mighty is the army that obeys his command. There's the Lord, and billions of locusts are his army behind him. And what an image. That's how determined the Lord is to save you and your children. Think about it. That's how determined the Lord is to save you and your children. In some ways, this plague of so many locusts is a direct response to the Pharaoh holding the children who belong to the Lord, right? And it's like little children coming upon him. Our children are given as a blessing from the Lord to us. But they're not ours. Well, we idolize them today. We live in the cult of the child. It goes on here. We idolize our children. I have a question. Do you have the same passion for your children as the Lord does for your children? In what's most important? Do you want them to have a successful life and good things, to live well, to be comfortable, to be pain-free, to be health, their health going well, and they can have everything that you dream about to have a good life here in the United States? Or do you wake up in the morning and you say, Lord, I know I'm a failure as a parent. I've wanted at times all the wrong things for my kids. But I'm asking you to give me wisdom to train them, because I want nothing more than for my children to know you and to love you and to fear you. The Lord says, if you love my children, tell them my stories. How does this end? Pharaoh calls for Moses. I've sinned. Yeah, we believe that. Please forgive my sin. Interesting, though, that the issue of sin keeps coming up in the plagues, doesn't it? He's starting to get it. Moses has already told us he doesn't mean it. The Lord brings relief. This west wind comes. And get this, all of them are sent into the Red Sea right in front of him. Preview of coming attractions. That's where he's going. He and his army. He just got the visual before it even happened. Comforting, isn't it? For us, for his people, you're going to be delivered no matter what they do to you. The Lord is clear. How dare you touch my children? I want to close with this thought this morning. When I come to the Gospels and I think of Christ, I'm amazed at how much attention he gives to children. I think of the imagery of him taking a child and setting him in the midst of them. And when he was taken into his arms, he said, this child was taken into Christ's arms. He said to everyone standing there, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. Oh, he loves it. And I believe that's just what it is when you take children as the family of God, receive them, care for them, pray for them, love them. I can't help but hear Christ when people tried to keep them away. Let them come. Don't forbid them, for of such is the kingdom. The covenant of grace, the first thing God told Abraham, you include the children. That's why I want my baptism. That's why I want baptism on them. That's why I wanted circumcision on them. I'm not casting them out. It's an insult to keep them out of the covenant of grace. And we say, oh, I don't know if we should put baptism on children. Really? He's always done it from the beginning. I've raised him up. I've raised my children. We raise our children because we believe his promises. So much so that Jesus was so serious about this, he said, it would be better if anyone makes one of these little ones, little children, to stumble who believe in me. It'd be better if somebody took a giant millstone, hung it around his neck, and dropped him out into the middle of the ocean. That's how serious I take it. He loves your children. And if you grew up and had a bad example of a father, you've got a heavenly father who loves you. You don't have to fear. The Lord is a father to your children. He'll protect them. He'll keep them. He won't leave them as orphans in this crazy world. What a story you have today to tell your children. He brought them out of Egypt too, and he passed them through the sea and baptized them too. God gave his only begotten Son. Dear children, for you. For you. He desires to give you shelter in this world. With all of your frustrations and hardships too. So don't fear what's happening in the world. God is for you and your children. If God is for our children, who can be against them? If he longs for our children and will bring them home, we don't have to fear. The future is his. That should give us confidence today to go tell them the story. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for encouraging us about our children. We need that. Our priorities have been so wrong with them, and we confess that and are so thankful that you are the ultimate father to our children and that you have promised to bring them too. And that comforts us because we look at a world before us that will just bite and devour them and spit them out. But you plagued Egypt and you'll plague the U.S. for our children if it takes it. It needs it. And we're so thankful for your love that we belong to a kingdom that can never be shaken, with a king on the throne that can never be toppled, who's prepared an eternal inheritance for us that is forever and ever. Thank you for giving the promise to us and to our children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.
Live from New York, it's Saturday night.
Entertainment is good fun, but your pastor shouldn't be a stand-up comic, and church is not a nightclub. In worship, we meet a holy God face to face, in Christ, in his gospel. Escondido United Reformed Church is committed to reverent, joyful worship every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 760-745-1679, eurc.org, 760-745-1679, eurc.org.